Magnus's bedroom was a riot of color. Canary yellow sheets and bedspread draped over a mattress on the floor. Electric blue vanity table strewn with more pots of paint and makeup than Isabel's. Rainbow velvet curtains hid the floor-to-ceiling windows, and a tangled wool rug covered the floor.
"Nice place," said Jace, drawing aside a heavy swag of curtain. "Guess it pays well, being the High Warlock of Brooklyn."
"It pays," Magnus said. "Not much of a benefit package, though. No dental." He shut the door behind him and leaned against it. When he crossed his arms, his t-shirt rode up, showing a strip of flat golden stomach unmarked by a navel. "So," he said, "what's on your devious little minds?" "It's not them, actually," Clary said, finding her voice before Jace could reply. "I'm the one that wanted to talk to you." Magnus turned his inhuman eyes on her. "You are not one of them," he said. "Not of the Clave, but you can see the invisible world." "My mother was one of the Clave," Clary said. It was the first time she had said it out loud and known it to be true. "But she never told me. She kept it a secret. I don't know why."
"So ask her."
"I can't. She's..." Clary hesitated. "She's gone."
"And your father?"
"He died before I was born." Magnus exhaled irritably.
"As Oscar Wilde once said, to lose one parent may be regarded as a misfortune. To lose both seems like carelessness."
Clary heard Jace make a small hissing sound, like air being sucked through his teeth. She said, "I didn't lose my mother. She was taken from me. By Valentine."
"I don't know any Valentine," said Magnus,
but his eyes flickered like wavering candle flames, and Clary knew he was lying.
"I'm sorry for your tragic circumstances, but I fail to see what any of this has to do with me. If you could tell me..."
"She can't tell you because she doesn't remember," Jace said sharply. "Someone erased her memories, so we went to the Silent City to see what the brothers could pull out of her head. They got two words. I think you can guess what they were."
There was a short silence. Finally, Magnus let his mouth turn up at the corner. His smile was bitter.
"My signature," he said. "I knew it was folly when I did it. An act of hubris."
"You've signed my mind?" Clary said in disbelief. Magnus raised his hand, tracing the fiery outlines of letters against the air. When he dropped his hand, they hung there, hot and golden, making the painted lines of his eyes and mouth burn with reflected light. Magnus Bane.
"I was proud of my work on you," he said slowly, looking at Clary. "So clean, so perfect. What you saw you would forget, even as you saw it. No image of pixie or goblin or long-legged beastie would remain to trouble your blameless mortal sleep. It was the way she wanted it."
Clary's voice was thin with tension.
"The way who wanted it?"
Magnus sighed, and at the touch of his breath, the fire letters sifted away to glowing ash. Finally, he spoke, and though she was not surprised, though she had known exactly what he was going to say, still, she felt the words like a blow against her heart.
"Your mother," he said.
Chapter 13. The Memory of Whiteness.
"My mother did this to me?"
Clary demanded, but her surprised outrage didn't sound convincing, even to her own ears. Looking around, she saw pity in Jace's eyes, in Alex. Even Alec had guessed and felt sorry for her.
"Why?"
"I don't know." Magnus spread his long white hands. "It's not my job to ask questions. I do what I get paid to do."
"Within the bounds of the Covenant," Jace reminded him, his voice soft as cat's fur.
Magnus inclined his head.
"Within the bounds of the Covenant, of course."
"So the Covenant's all right with this mind rape?"
Clary asked bitterly. When no one answered, she sank down on the edge of Magnus's bed.
"Was it only once? Was there something specific she wanted me to forget? Do you know what it was?"
Magnus paced restlessly to the window.
"I don't think you understand. The first time I ever saw you, You must have been about 2 years old. I was watching out this window.
He tapped the glass, freeing a shower of dust and paint chips.
And I saw her, hurrying up the street, holding something wrapped in a blanket.
I was surprised when she stopped at my door.
She looked so ordinary, so young.
The moonlight touched his hawkish profile with silver. She unwrapped the blanket when she came in my door.
You were inside it.
She set you down on the floor and you started ranging around, picking things up, pulling my cat's tail. You screamed like a banshee when the cat scratched you. So I asked your mother if you were part banshee. She didn't laugh.
He paused. They were all watching him intently now, even Alec.
She told me she was a shadow hunter. There was no point in her lying about it. Marks show up, even when they faded with time, like faint silver scars against the skin. They flickered when she moved.
He rubbed at the glitter makeup around his eyes.
She told me she'd hoped you'd been born with a blind inner eye. Some shadow hunters have to be taught to see the shadow world. But she'd caught you that afternoon, teasing a pixie trapped in a hedge. She knew you could see. So she asked me if it was possible to blind you of the sight.
Clary made a little noise, a pained exhalation of breath, but Magnus went on remorselessly.
I told her that crippling that part of your mind might leave you damaged, possibly insane.
She didn't cry. She wasn't the sort of woman who weeps easily, your mother. She asked me if there was another way, and I told her you could be made to forget those parts of the shadow world that you could see, even as you saw them. The only caveat was that she'd have to come to me every 2 years as the results of the spell began to fade.
And did she? Asked Clary.
Magnus nodded.
I've seen you every 2 years since that first time. I've watched you grow up. You're the only child I've ever watched grow up that way, you know.
In my business, one isn't generally that welcome around human children.
So you recognized Clary when we walked in, Jay said. You must have.
Of course I did.
Magnus sounded exasperated.
And it was a shock, too.
But what would you have done? She didn't know me.
She wasn't supposed to know me.
Just the fact that she was here meant the spell had started to fade. And in fact, we were due for another visit about a month ago. I even came by your house when I got back from Tanzania. But Jocelyn said that you two had had a fight and you'd run off. She said she'd call on me when you came back, but...
An elegant shrug.
She never did.
A cold wash of memory prickled Clary's skin. She remembered standing in the foyer next to Simon, straining to remember something that danced just at the edge of her vision.
I thought I saw Dorothea's cat, but it was just a trick of the light.
But Dorothea didn't have a cat.
You were there that day, Clary said. I saw you coming out of Dorothea's apartment.
I remember your eyes.
Magnus looked as if he might purr.
I'm memorable. It's true, he gloated.
Then he shook his head.
You shouldn't remember me, he said. I threw up a glamour as hard as a wall as soon as I saw you.
You should have run right into it face first, psychically speaking.
If you run into a psychic wall face first, do you wind up with psychic bruises?
Clary said, if you take the spell off me, will I be able to remember all the things I've forgotten? All the memories you stole?
I can't take it off you.
Magnus looked uncomfortable.
What?
Jay sounded furious.
Why not? The Clave requires you.
Magnus looked at him coldly.
I don't like being told what to do, little shadow hunter.
Clary could see how much Jace disliked being referred to as little, but before he could snap out a reply, Alec spoke. His voice was soft, thoughtful.
Don't you know how to reverse it? He asked.
The spell, I mean.
Magnus sighed.
Undoing a spell is a great deal more difficult than creating it in the first place. The intricacy of this one, the care I put into weaving it. If I made even the smallest mistake in unraveling it, her mind could be damaged forever. Besides, he added, it's already begun to fade. The effects will vanish over time on their own.
Clary looked at him sharply.
Will I get all my memories back then? Whatever was taken out of my head?
I don't know. They might come back all at once, or in stages. Or you might never remember what you've forgotten over the years. What your mother asked me to do was unique, in my experience. I've no idea what will happen.
but I don't want to wait. Clary folded her hands tightly in her lap, her fingers clamped together so hard that the tips turned white. All my life, I've felt like there was something wrong with me. Something missing or damaged. Now I know. I didn't damage you. It was Magnus's turn to interrupt. His lips curled back angrily to show sharp white teeth. Every teenager in the world feels that. Feels broken or out of place. Different somehow. Royalty mistakenly born into a family of peasants. The difference in your case is that it's true. You are different. Maybe not better, but different. And it's no picnic being different. You want to know what it's like when you happen to be born with the devil's mark? He pointed at his eyes, fingers splayed. When your father flinches at the sight of you, and your mother hangs herself in the barn, driven mad by what she's done, or what's been done to her? When I was 10, my father tried to drown me in a creek. He knew I was no son of his, that my real father was a demon. I lashed out at him with everything I had, burned him where he stood. I went to the Silent Brothers eventually for sanctuary. They hid me. They say that pity's a bitter thing, but it's better than hate. When I found out what I was really, only half a human being, I hated myself. Anything is better than that. There was silence when Magnus was done speaking. To Clary's surprise, it was Alec who broke it. It wasn't your fault, he said. You can't help how you're born. Magnus's expression was closed. I'm over it, he said. I think you get my point. Different isn't better, Clarissa. Your mother was trying to protect you. Don't throw it back in her face. Clary's hands relaxed their grip on each other. I don't care if I'm different, she said. I just want to be who I really am. Magnus swore in a language she didn't know. It sounded like crackling flames. All right, listen. I can't undo what I've done, but I can give you something else. A piece of what would have been yours if you'd been raised a true child of the Nephilim. He stalked across the room to the bookcase and dragged down a heavy volume bound in rotting green velvet. He flipped through the pages, shedding dust and bits of blackened cloth. The pages were thin, almost translucent eggshell parchment, each marked with a stark black rune. Jace's eyebrows went up. Is that a copy of the Grey Book? Magnus, feverishly flipping pages, said nothing. Hodge has one, Alec observed. He showed it to me once. It's not grey, Clary felt compelled to point out. It's green.
If there was such a thing as terminal literism, you'd have died in childhood, said Jace, brushing dust off the windowsill and eyeing it as if considering whether it was clean enough to sit on. Grey is short for Grammary. It means magic, hidden wisdom. In it is copied every rune the angel Raziel wrote in the original Book of the Covenant. There aren't many copies because each one has to be specially made. Some of the runes are so powerful they'd burn through regular pages.
Alec looked impressed. I didn't know all that. Jace hopped up on the windowsill and swung his legs.
Not all of us sleep through history lessons.
I do not...
Oh, yes you do, and drool on the desk besides.
Shut up, said Magnus, but he said it quite mildly. He hooked his finger between two pages of the book and came over to Clary, setting it carefully in her lap. Now, when I open the book, I want you to study the page. Look at it until you feel something change inside your mind. Will it hurt? Clary asked nervously.
All knowledge hurts, he replied, and stood up, letting the book fall open in her lap.
Clary stared down at the clean white page with the black rune mark spilled across it. It looked something like a winged spiral until she tilted her head, and then it seemed like a staff wound around with vines. The mutable corners of the pattern tickled her mind like feathers brushed against sensitive skin. She felt the shivery flicker of reaction, making her want to close her eyes, but she held them open until they stung and blurred. She was about to blink when she felt it, a click inside her head, like a key turning in a lock. The rune on the page seemed to spring into sharp focus, and she thought, involuntarily, remember. If the rune were a word, it would have been that one, but there was more meaning to it than any word she could imagine. It was a child's first memory of light falling through crib bars, the recollected scent of rain and city streets, the pain of unforgotten loss, the sting of remembered humiliation,
and the cruel forgetfulness of old age, when the most ancient of memories stand out with agonizingly clear precision, and the nearest of incidents are lost beyond recall. With a little sigh, she turned to the next page, and the next, letting the images and sensations flow over her. Sorrow, thought, strength, protection, grace, and then cried out in reproachful surprise as Magnus snatched the book off her lap. "That's enough," he said, sliding it back onto its shelf. He dusted his hands off on his jeans, leaving streaks of gray. "If you read all the runes at once, you'll give yourself a headache."
But
most Shadow Hunter children grow up learning one rune at a time over a period of years, said Jace. The Grey Book contains runes even I don't know.
Imagine that, said Magnus.
Jace ignored him.
Magnus showed you the rune for understanding and remembrance. It opens your mind up to reading and recognizing the rest of the marks.
It also may serve as a trigger to activate dormant memories, said Magnus. They could return to you more quickly than they would otherwise. It's the best I can do.
Clary looked down at her lap.
I still don't remember anything about the mortal cup.
Is that what this is about?
Magnus sounded actually astonished.
You're after the angel's cup?
Look, I've been through your memories. There was nothing in them about the mortal instruments.
Mortal instruments? Clary echoed, bewildered. I thought...
The angel gave three items to the first Shadow Hunters. A cup, a sword, and a mirror. The Silent Brothers have the sword. The cup and the mirror were in Idris, at least until Valentine came along.
Nobody knows where the mirror is, said Alec. Nobody's known for ages.
It's the cup that concerns us, said Jace. Valentine's looking for it.
And you want to get to it before he does?
Magnus asked, his eyebrows winging upward.
I thought you said you didn't know who Valentine was, Clary pointed out.
I lied, Magnus admitted candidly. I'm not one of the Fae, you know. I'm not required to be truthful. And only a fool would get between Valentine and his revenge.
Is that what you think he's after? Revenge? Said Jace.
I would guess so. He suffered a grave defeat, and he hardly seems, the type of man to suffer defeat gracefully.
Alec looked harder at Magnus.
Were you at the uprising?
Magnus's eyes locked with Alec's.
I was. I killed a number of your folk.
Circle members, said Jace quickly. Not ours.
If you insist on disavowing that which is ugly about what you do, said Magnus, still looking at Alec, you will never learn from your mistakes.
Alec, plucking at the coverlet with one hand, flushed an unhappy red.
You don't seem surprised to hear that Valentine's still alive, he said, avoiding Magnus's gaze.
Magnus spread his hands wide.
Are you?
Jace opened his mouth, then closed it again. He looked actually baffled.
Eventually, he said,
So you won't help us find the mortal cup?
I wouldn't if I could, said Magnus, which, by the way, I can't. I've no idea where it is, and I don't care to know. Only a fool, as I said.
Alec sat up straighter.
But without the cup, we can't...
Make more of you, I know, said Magnus. Perhaps not everyone regards that as quite the disaster that you do.
Mind you, he added, if I had to choose between the Clave and Valentine, I would choose the Clave.
At least they're not actually sworn to wipe out my kind. But nothing the Clave has done has earned my unswerving loyalty either. So no, I'll sit this one out. Now, if we're done here, I'd like to get back to my party before any of the guests eat each other.
Jace, who was clenching and unclenching his hands, looked like he was about to say something furious, but Alec, standing up, put a hand on his shoulder. Clary couldn't quite tell in the dimness, but it looked as if Alec was squeezing rather hard.
Is that likely? He asked.
Magnus was looking at him with some amusement.
It's happened before.
Jace muttered something to Alec, who let go. Detaching himself, he came over to Clary.
Are you all right?
He asked in a low voice.
I think so. I don't feel any different.
Magnus, standing by the door, snapped his fingers impatiently.
Move it along, teenagers. The only person who gets to canoodle in my bedroom is my magnificent self.
Canoodle?
repeated Clary, never having heard the word before.
Magnificent,
repeated Jace, who was just being nasty. Magnus growled. The growl sounded like, get out. They got, Magnus trailing behind them.